Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Indeed, welcome to The Inner Life. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond once again, and hope your Thursday is off to a good start here. And let me ask you, do you have a favorite prayer? When something happens in your life, might be good, might be bad, and you start praying, do you have that go-to prayer? Or do you have maybe a saint that you always turn to asking for their help, their intercession? One occasion that happened for me a few years ago, I had this big project at work, and it had a deadline that was looming ahead. And there were a number of us that were working on this. We were switching from one of the primary systems, software programs, to a new program. So there was all kinds of data entry that needed to be done, and I was the one who was helping lead this project. And I found myself working about 11 or 12 hours a day for 2 to 3 weeks. And the deadline was the first Monday in November. That's when everything would be going on this new system. And my mind was so busy every single night that I would wake up early. And when I talk early, I'd wake up 3:34 in the morning and I couldn't get back to sleep. And so I'd just say, well, might as well go in. I've got plenty to do. So I'd, you know, get a shower really quick, get ready and drive into the office and be working that 11 or 12 hour day. And I was also working some weekends there as well. And so as we're leading up towards mid and late November, pushing towards that December, that first Monday in December deadline, well, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, I went into the office and I knew I'd be there 8, 9, 10 hours, something like that. But I was going to try and get out of there by 4:30 or 5 that afternoon, primarily because I have two daughters that actually share the same birthday, November 18th. And so that year, the 18th fell on that Saturday before Thanksgiving. And my oldest daughter, Cadence, she was born in 1999. When you hear two daughters that share the same birthday, you might think, oh, he has twins. No, that's not the case, actually. Cadence was born in 1999, and then our daughter, Eden, was born 16 years later, and she was born on the exact same date, November 18th. And so it's always a fun double celebration for their birthdays. And I wanted to get home, wanted to be part of the festivities, have, you know, the birthday dinner, the cake, the presents, all of that. And Eden, being the younger one, she was the one able to choose the birthday dinner. And so not unlike most children that are around her age, I think she turned maybe 4 years old that year, she chose corn dogs and macaroni and cheese. And so at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm still in the office, I'm still working, and my wife calls. It's been, you know, just dead silent all day as I've been doing all this work on my own. Nobody else is in the office. I've got the space to myself, so I can just kind of bury my head in the work and get it done. And the phone rings, and I pick it up. It's my wife. And with a bit of a hesitant laugh, she ends up saying that we might have a problem. Our oven had stopped working. She had this tray of corn dogs for Eden's birthday dinner, both Cadence and Eden, and they were only about halfway cooked and the oven stopped working. Now, I walk through a bunch of different things. Okay, you know, are any of the buttons working on the console? Did you try the breaker? Try, you know, this, try that, and nothing works. It's still dead. And so at this point, I knew I was planning to still be at the office for another half hour to an hour. But I start becoming so thoroughly distracted, even after hanging up the phone, just thinking of, oh, okay, you know, we've got just one more thing that we are going to have to put money out for. And you might be like me. When these things happen, it seems like they happen, not just one thing, but 2, 3, 4 things all kind of hit at the same time, where you've got to do these repairs or fix-ups in your house or to appliances or whatever it is. And so that's how it was for us. We, over the last month, month and a half, we'd done some other repairs and fix-ups. And so our financial reserves are getting a little low. And on top of that, It's coming up on Thanksgiving, and we've got a couple turkeys that are in the fridge. They're defrosting already. How do you have Thanksgiving without an oven? You know, not that it's the end of the world if you don't have to have turkey or you don't have, you know, the other things that go there. But come on, it's tradition, right? And so I start thinking of all these different things. And I say, it's time to just pack it in and head home. And so I do. I get in the car and I drive out the parking lot and I'm headed down the road and I heave out this big sigh and I've turned off the radio. I've turned off everything. It's silent in the car. And I say out loud, all right, God, you know the situation. Can you help us here? And then I turn to St. Joseph and I say, St. Joseph, you know what it's like to be the father of a family and be in those situations where you're not sure how things are going to work out. So please, can you pray for us? Can you pray that we can either fix the oven or replace it or, you know, it'll be low cost, whatever needs to happen here. Can you pray for us and intercede for us? And so then I drove the rest of the way home in silence and my mind's still racing, but I'm trying my best to just hope and trust that God and St. Joseph are going to take care of everything here. I walk into the door of our house when I get home and I speak with my wife and some of the kids are around and go through everything that they try to do. And I'm a big fan of, you know, did you just forget to plug it in? Or, you know, can it just be turned off and on again? Nothing I can do there at the oven works. So I head down to our basement to the breaker box. I look there, find the switch for the oven, and it's locked in that proper position. But on a whim, I say, well, I know they've already tried. Let me try it again. So I pop out the breaker switch and cut the circuit, and I count to three, and I pop it back in place. And I walk upstairs without any real hope, any expectation of change. But I walk over to the oven, and the digital readout is back on. And I say, oh, good, we can have corn dogs after all tonight. And so I called my wife in. I explained to her and to the kids what happened. And so at that moment, we said, all right, we need to say a prayer of thanksgiving to God and to St. Joseph for helping us out with getting Cadence's and Eden's birthday dinners finished up and back on track. And, you know, we're going to pray that it at least lasts through the Thanksgiving holiday here. But as we talk about prayer, as we look at prayer today, here on The Inner Life, how we talk with God and how He speaks to us. When have you experienced those times in your life where God has answered your prayer or where a saint has interceded for you? Have you had times where you had to wait for that answer? Maybe wait and wait and wait for the answer? Or maybe you didn't receive the answer you were looking for? Well, we're going to look at all of those questions and more, and we'd like to hear how God has worked in you, how your prayers have been answered, or maybe how God has taught you something by not giving you the answer that you expected or that you wanted. And we're going to be talking today with one of our regular spiritual directors, Monsignor Fred Dolan. He's a priest of the Prelature of Opus Dei based in Montreal, Canada, where he currently serves as the secretary vicar of Opus Dei for Canada. Monsignor, welcome to the program today.
Thank you very much, Josh. It's great to be here.
And so as we talk about prayer, you know, one of the first things that comes to my mind, I'm a convert, so I didn't grow up Catholic, and I would hear Catholics use the word prayer interchangeably for a couple of things. And I even just did it as I was talking about my story there of this, you know, this answered prayer, just immediately answered as soon as I got home. But we have kind of these two different categories, so I'd like to maybe go into that. Even though there's some similarities, there are distinct differences. First, we have prayer to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or just, you know, where we might be praying to one of the persons of the Trinity. And along with our requests and our intentions, we also include praise and worship and adoration in that. But then we pray to the saints, and we do ask for their intercession, but we don't worship the saints. So why do we use that same word for both? And can you help us maybe draw some distinctions between the two uses of that word when we say prayer?
Well, you know, prayer is basically a conversation. In the case of our prayer with God, it's our way of carrying out a relationship with God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we extend that to the extended family. We pray to Mary, we pray to Joseph, to the saints. In the case of them, what we're doing is we are turning to some of God's best friends and just saying, you know, I really want to get to know you better. I want to know more about you so I can imitate you, because you did a really great job of developing your own relationship with God. Now, in the case of God, of course, our prayer involves, above all, adoration, a lot of thanksgiving, as well as asking for things and asking for pardon, which is very different from that of our conversation with the saints.
So as we're looking at that prayer, you're talking about it being a conversation. How can we hear God? One of the things that I was reading yesterday, and it just happened to be where the bookmark was, I went into a section, and none of this was planned. I didn't know until a little earlier this week that I would be speaking with a priest of Opus Dei, but I've been slowly making my way through St. Jose Maria's book, The Way, and I happened to be on the section on prayer. And he says, in a couple of different portions of that book, he says that prayer is never a monologue. And he also talks about how we should have minutes of silence in prayer. And so how do we listen for God? What do we do, especially if we're having a hard time understanding God's will? Certain things, it might be that we look to Scripture or, you know, something that we're doing as far as spiritual reading, we might get an answer there. There might be somebody who speaks to us and tells us something that helps us along our path. But if we don't have those moments where there's a clear answer from God, how can we look and say, God, what are you trying to say to me here? I'm trying not to have a monologue, as St. Jose Maria would say. I want it to be a dialogue, but I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Well, the ultimately our prayer, this ongoing conversation, really is I like to consider it a mutual admiration society, where we make it clear to God that we just love being in his presence. Or as one of the Psalms says, if you find your delight in the Lord, he will grant your heart's desire. And then that's God's point of view as he talks, he just loves being with us. Now, a lot of the times we will just be in his presence, listening to him quite often through what he has said to us in Scripture, since that is the main place where he has revealed himself and his plan for us. But other times, you know, we could begin a time of prayer, maybe 10 or 15 minutes of just thinking over the past few hours, and just say to him, okay, as I begin this time of prayer, I know how I see that rough moment that took place a minute ago. But as the fruit of this meditation or contemplation or reflection, I want you to suggest to me in my imagination and in my heart how you see that thing. Now, sometimes we won't hear anything. Other times, by the end of that time of prayer, we will see things quite differently. We'll see that, okay, the fact that I was upset an hour ago was because of so-and-so did this. But by the end of it, maybe we've come to a deeper understanding of our own foibles or our own stubbornness or whatever.
And so is that kind of that allowing for that silence to where we're not just constantly just in that, you know, we're the ones praying to God, but just giving that silence so we can have those moments to reflect on what his spirit might be trying to bring to our minds?
That's right. You know, one of my favorite passages from Scripture is where God says quite simply, be still and see that I am God. And the Latin word for be still is vacate, which is the same word, the root of vacation. In other words, stop everything. Stop moving around. Stop, just be quiet. Because then great things happen.
That's a hard thing to do in our society. We're bombarded so often with so much noise. We've got advertisements that are hitting us everywhere. We've got now smartphones that... it's hard not to, in those empty spaces in our day, just grab that phone that's in our pocket and turn it on and, you know, look at the next thing on social media or play whatever fun game or, you know, try and engage ourselves rather than just being quiet. I even think about that sitting in airports, not that we've had a lot of opportunities to sit in airports over the last year with the pandemic, but you used to watch people in restaurants or in the mall, in airports. You'd just do people watching, and you could pass, you know, 10, 20, 30 minutes while you're waiting for a connecting flight. You could pass the time just watching and observing. And I think our society has gotten to a point where we don't allow for that. Is there a good place that we could maybe start and say, I need to carve out this time just to be quiet?
It's a crucial point for prayer, because unless there is interior silence, we won't be able to hear God. You know, there's one author I like. He's a professor of computer science at Georgetown named Cal Newport, and he wrote a very important book called Deep Work. It has nothing to do with religion, spirituality. It's about work. But his whole point is that if we have any hope of thinking deeply, working deeply, and getting things done, we have to turn off the notifications. We have to develop the capacity to spend 1 hour of really, really concentrating with no interruptions whatsoever. And a lot of people, maybe most people, would go a little bit cuckoo birds after 10 minutes of that. But it's a matter of exercising that and developing that capacity in your work. Then that spills over into our life of prayer.
Now, there's also, you know, very famously here in the Catholic Church, we have lots of different devotional prayers that people will use, but even praying through the rosary, it's easy when you pray the rosary to go ahead. You can offer your intentions, but you also have those mysteries that you meditate upon. In doing that, that does take usually, you know, even if you're trying to move through it pretty quickly, you're going to take a good 20, 25 minutes most of the time to pray through the rosary. Is that a good starting point if we haven't carved out that time each day for prayer? Or is there maybe a different way that you could approach some structure that you would recommend for people just starting out, wanting to make that part of their daily routine?
Well, Josh, I would do both. I think those are two great approaches. The rosary is very powerful, A, because Mary asked us to pray it, but also there's something I was going to say magical, but it's just the way that we're built. St. John Paul II, who loved the rosary, he explains at one point that just repeating the same word, the same prayer over and over again, psychologically, it does great things for us. And I'm sure all of your listeners, they can attest to the fact that when we begin praying the rosary, maybe we're wondering about something, looking for an answer. And by the end of that rosary, who knows why? Well, it's basically the power of prayer, but we see things much more clearly. Now, at the same time, carving out, I like the phrase, carving out time, ultimately, it's a matter of realizing we were built in order to develop this relationship with God, which means it's one of our reasons for we exist in order to give praise, to develop this relationship with our Creator. So to the extent that we make that a real priority, well, then we are capable of making it happen, even if we have to get up 15 minutes early in order to have that quiet time before things get going.
And that quiet time, yeah, that's something I've done in my life for a number of years now, and I can really tell the difference in my life if I skip a day, if there's, you know, something that gets me out of that morning routine and I miss being able to pray a morning rosary, being able to spend some time just meditating and having that prayer dialogue with God in the morning. Our spiritual director today, Monsignor Fred Dolan, a priest of the Prelature of Opus Dei based in Montreal and Secretary Vicar of Opus Dei for Canada. And we're talking about prayer. And when have you had that time, that time that you've experienced God answering your prayer, or where a saint may have interceded for you, where you've been able to have that dialogue with God? Have you had those times where you've had to wait for the answer or you didn't receive the answer that you hoped for? And what has helped you to grow and develop and strengthen your prayer life? We'd love to hear how God has been working in your life and let you encourage others as you've been on that journey. The number you can call here in the studio is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can email innerlife@relevantradio.com. And we'll be back with more talking about prayer here on The Inner Life on Relevant Radio right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life Spiritual Directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Josh Raymond, along with our spiritual director, Monsignor Fred Dolan. And you might have just heard Father Rocky there, just right before we came back from that break. And as you're listening to those Lenten lessons on the Mass every day, I wanted to point out we're actually halfway through Lent already. We're at the midway point. We've only got about 2.5 weeks, and we're going to be starting Holy Week. I don't know about for you, it's flown by for me. And if you haven't registered for Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on the Mass, you should do so right now. You can do that either at relevantradio.com by clicking on the banner there at the top. There's a little button you can click and sign up. You can also do that through the Relevant Radio app. But this year also, Father Rocky has a premium edition of the Lenten Lessons on the Mass. So in past years, we've had some of the recorded and the text pieces that have explained different portions, different parts of the Mass. But this year, he also has recorded a brand new video series, and it goes through. I've been watching it with my family, and we actually fell a little behind, so we've been trying to play a little catch-up, watching a couple of them every night as we've been moving forward to play that catch-up. But again, it's a great way for you to be able to have some conversation with your family. That's what we've been doing. We'll talk about the different parts that Father Rocky points out, the different prayers, the different things that are used, the vessels, the different towels and different cloths that are used there that we see, and we might not realize the significance they play or why they're done a certain way or the symbolism that they represent. So again, let me encourage you, if you haven't done that, it's not too late. You can still sign up and get those delivered to your inbox, your email inbox every single day. Just go to relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app and sign up for those Lenten Lessons on the Mass. And the one today is absolutely providential because we are talking about prayer. And so as Father Rocky was talking about the prayers of the faithful, well, we're going to continue our conversation about prayer. And how have you had those answered prayers? Or when have been those times that you haven't had an answered prayer or the answer wasn't what you hoped for? What has helped you to grow and develop and strengthen your prayer life? You can call us 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And Monsignor Dolan, right before the break, we were kind of talking about that interior silence, making space for that. It reminds me of a quote that I heard years ago, and I had to look it up just to make sure I got it right, but it's St. John Vianney, and he talked about when he first came to Ars in France. He said there was a man who never passed the church without going in, and in the morning on his way to work, in the evening on his way home, he would leave whatever tools he had with him out on the porch, and he'd go in and he'd spend a long time in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. And St. John Vianney said, oh, I love to see that. And I asked him once what he said to Jesus there in the Eucharist. What did you say to our Lord during these long visits? And the person, this worker who would come in once, twice a day, he said, I say nothing. I look at him and he looks at me. And sometimes I've had that experience in my own life. Is that just enough to just be in the presence of Jesus, even though we have different needs, different things that we need in our life? And we pray that even in the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. But is it okay just to take those moments and let that be that interior silence? We just look at Jesus. He gazes upon us.
Well, you know, looking into his eyes, even with the eyes of our heart, our imagination, is a way of really and truly establishing a friendship with him. You know, we can read a scene such as that of the Samaritan woman and just imagine her looking into the eyes of Jesus and basically dissolving into melted butter, so to speak. To the extent that we do that, he looks at us, we look at him, we come to realize how deeply and how totally we're loved, which is the beginning of great things. And I must say that, speaking of the Samaritan woman, I find that the series that you can see on the smartphone called The Chosen is very powerful as a way of helping to imagine the scene, because that scene of the Samaritan woman is just off the charts. And to just follow up with that, there's a beautiful thought from Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, where she talks about prayer as a fruitful waste. Hmm. What she's referring to is a gratuitousness, being there just to be there, as opposed to being there in order to get something out of it. It's our way of saying, you know, Lord, you gave me my life. You're the boss. And furthermore, I just want you to know I love being in your presence, so here I am. That's a great prayer.
It reminds me of when I was young, probably the first, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years that my wife and I were married, that we would see that in older couples, you know, couples that had been married for 50, 60 years. They'd have those high-number anniversary celebrations, and we would note how they could just be in the presence of each other, but just be comfortable to be silent. They didn't need to say anything. They didn't need to have any conversation. They knew each other well enough that they could just, you know, have that time, and they didn't have to fill the silence. A lot of times when we're around other people, I mean, I'm on the air for radio. I have to fill the silence here, right? But that's that's how we are in our lives. I think a lot of times we don't want uncomfortable silence. How do we find comfortable silence?
You know, you just made me think of another passage from one of the writings of St. John Paul II, where he was talking not only about those times we set aside where we're just motionless, sitting somewhere, trying to pray, but also developing the habit of prayer. And he said, even as we walk along, I don't know, walking to work or wherever, we can say a prayer that matches the rhythm of our breathing, such as the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And this is something you could some of your listeners could try this afternoon. As you walk along, those words fit perfectly with our pattern of breathing. And the fact is that if we use that time walking a few blocks and just say it who knows how many times, well, not only are we praising God and asking him for something, but we're also developing the sense that he really and truly is present, which he is, of course.
Right. Right. Our spiritual director today is Monsignor Fred Dolan, a priest of the Prelature of Opus Dei in Montreal, Canada. And Monsignor, we have a good number of phone calls. We're going to try and get as many on as we can. Let's go to Chris. He's listening in Shelton, Connecticut. Hi, Chris. Have you been able to strengthen your own prayer life?
Well, I've been home with 3 young children for 3 years, a stay-at-home dad. My wife works overnight, so it's first year I've been fighting it, you know. First year I was at home with them, like, oh, I need time to pray. I used to go to adoration every day. And then my brother's a priest. He says, look, embrace your situation, don't fight it. So once they did that, and I just fit my prayer in when I could, when I was cooking dinner, changing a diaper, it sounds weird, but just be in the moment, because my charge is my 3 children, and there's no greater gift than that. And just trying to use that instead of being so, you know, I need this time for this time for that. Just embracing the chaos and just allowing prayer to, the rosary helps me. It tells you, you know, peace in your work and all these messages. And that's really helped me, really helped me grow and just in the whole situation, if that makes any sense. So, your thoughts?
Chris, if I may dive in here, you just reminded me of a passage in the Pope's recent letter about St. Joseph that he published on December 8th, where a whole section is about acceptance, the fact that Joseph accepted the situation. And what you're doing is accepting the limitations of living in controlled chaos, and which changes everything psychologically. And say, okay, Lord, I'm going to sanctify myself by doing a spectacular job here, doing these different tasks at home. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, the other thing that it brings to my mind is where St. Paul, he tells us to pray without ceasing. And Monsignor, as Chris was sharing, it really brought that to my mind. You know, we were talking about carving out that time where we have the opportunity to pray alone, which is absolutely important and foundational. If you don't have that ability to foster that relationship with God, it doesn't matter the other parts of your day. You have to have that as a foundation. But also being able to pray without ceasing. And, you know, Chris, he was talking about even changing a diaper, there's an opportunity for prayer.
Absolutely crucial. Yeah, because then one of the great benefits of little by little developing this habit of prayer is we end up doing a quality work. Or as one of the phrases from St. Jose Maria that I love is, he said, we have to give to everything we do the dynamic echo of eternity. Now, usually you don't think of Pampers and eternity in the same breath, that's for sure. But let's face it, what a wonderful thing if we can give to everything we do meaning, that kind of deeper meaning and transcendental meaning. Then the quality of our work and the quality of satisfaction really and truly go through the roof.
Chris, thanks so much for calling into The Inner Life and sharing your experience and how you've been able to grow in your prayer life. Let's go to Dennis. We've got Dennis listening to us in Arizona. Hi, Dennis. Welcome to The Inner Life today.
Hi. Yes, hello. I was a 30-year sinner, and about back in 2006, I started turning my life to God and Jesus. And for a number of years since back in 2006, I've been praying like a rosary for all the suffering, the animals that get their suffering, that, you know, every day, the stuff that happens to them and the women that get assaulted and all this stuff. So I was praying for all the suffering. So then back in 2019, I started asking God, I says, give me a plan. Because they always say that God has a plan for you, you know, Jesus. And I was at St. Paul the Apostle in Racine, Wisconsin. They had a slot opening for 12 noon to adore the Blessed Sacrament, you know. And it was 2 weeks there, and it was still open. So Jesus was talking to me, and he said, do this, and I can get a soul out of purgatory for you, even though you can get a plenary or partial indulgence. I says, well, I want a soul out of purgatory daily. And Jesus told me in my mind, he said that I can get a soul that's been in purgatory for a long time. You know, it doesn't have to be plenary, but as long as you try these devotions. And what happened, I started doing it every Thursday at 12 o'clock, Blessed Sacrament. So then we went to Arizona. I'm a snowbird here. I'm in Maricopa, Arizona now. And it was March 26th of last year. I was going daily to Mass. And, you know, I was going 2 days, you know, for the Holy Communion confession. And I tried to help the soul in purgatory. So, of course, the COVID-19, the church was closed. I came home. I sat down in my chair. And I turned the radio on, Relevant Radio was on, and Patrick Madrid was speaking. He says, you know, you can, you know, if you do these devotions, the Mass and all every day due to COVID-19, you can obtain a plenary indulgence. As soon as I sat down, I turned it on. He was talking about this, and Jesus was talking to me. He says, ever since that March 26th of last year, I've been doing all the devotions every day for 6 to 7 days a week. I pray rosaries and all that. And to get, since my I never don't want anything to suffer, Jesus told me, I do this for you. I get a soul out of purgatory. Even if, if it's a partial intelligence, it's been there a long time. I can feel him talking to me like that. And I've been doing it ever since now, daily. So I feel like I'm called to, Jesus Christ gave me a job to do. That's my story.
That's terrific.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. And that also goes back, Monsignor, to you were talking about how we're part of a family. And, you know, we pray to God, but there's also that communication with the saints who have gone before us, looking to them and saying, you've lived such an exemplary life. I want to get closer to you. I want to know you. And I want to have a friendship with you because we're both serving the same God. But we also have that where other people might be relying on us, like with Dennis and, you know, praying for the souls in purgatory. We are that community. We're that family. So it's not just about us asking for things, but us also being open to praying for those, you know, the church suffering, those who are here with us as part of the church militant on earth.
Well, prayer opens us up to a much greater awareness of really all those around us. You know, there's a point where St. Jose Maria says, talking precisely about the inner life, he says, you lack inner life because you do not consider in your prayer other people's concerns. You don't make an effort to see things clearly. You don't have a supernatural outlook in your study. So that what he's doing is kind of pinching the reader, saying, let's go. It's his way of saying, to the extent that you do begin to pray, all of a sudden you'll start to see people around you who really need you. And you'll stop thinking about yourself and focus more on them, which is a great thing.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that goes back to a lot of the Ten Commandments, you know, the first three that are focused on our relationship with God, and the last seven, our relationship with others. And so if we stop worrying about ourselves, not that we, again, going back to the Our Father, you know, we do pray, give us this day our daily bread. We ask for the things we need, but we also want to recognize that we have others in our lives that need things too, and we need to lift them up in our prayers. How has God worked with you in your prayer life? How has he helped you to grow and develop and strengthen your prayer life? Have there been times where you've had that prayer answered immediately? Or maybe you're still waiting on an answer to prayer, and it's been a long time, months, years, that you've been praying for this one intention. We're talking about prayer today here on The Inner Life, and you can give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com, and we'll be back with more right after this here on The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Part of the program, you can listen to this show and any of your favorites on the Relevant Radio app or online at relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Josh Raymond, along with our spiritual director, Monsignor Fred Dolan, a priest of the Prelature of Opus Dei based in Montreal, Canada. And we're talking about prayer. And Monsignor, you had one story that you had shared with me about a family whose life was absolutely transformed by just taking some time for Eucharistic adoration, spending that time in prayer.
Well, Josh, I was really moved by this story. It's about a First Communion boy, so we're talking about a very young person, 8 or 9 years old, I guess. The parish priest decided to have a 24-hour vigil every Friday. And so this young boy signed up for the 3 to 4 a.m. slot. And the priest was a little bit surprised, called the parents, and they said, yep, sure enough. So the boy explained that he wanted Jesus to heal his family. His dad was alcoholic, unemployed, and violent at times. So the first Friday, his mother took him to Mass, took him to the church, and stayed with him. The second time, it was his dad's turn, and dad stayed outside. But the second time, it was his dad's turn. He came in just inside the door. Long story short is that by the end of 3 months, the dad had stopped drinking, found a job, and was transformed. And so this priest said to this little boy, "Congratulations, Jesus did it." And the little boy looked at him and said, "Well, of course he did. Did you ever doubt it?" And the priest never forgot that one.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of a story I heard of a father who was having some difficulty with one of his children, a teenager, and he said, "You know, I can't get through to her. She's just headstrong and obstinate, and she's not wanting to go to Mass with us on Sundays anymore, and she's not wanting to, you know, participate in the family, and I'm really worried about the road she's going down." And their parish priest, their pastor, said, "You know what, you just need to take your daughter and spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament in adoration. And, you know, just ask her to do that one thing with you." And so they started doing that every week. And at first, he was having to kind of drag his daughter along. But pretty soon, the transformation of just that 1 hour per week of his daughter being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it changed everything. And I think it was about the same timeline that you talked about in this story, where it was just maybe 3 months or so, and everything switched in the family dynamic. And I'm sure it's not just because the girl there was there. I'm sure it was because the father was there and opening himself up to the graces in the prayer that was, you know, happening during that time. So that time spent before the Blessed Sacrament, I can't stress it enough. If you're listening and you don't have a holy hour, seek it out in your community. See where there are some chapels that might have some scheduled times of adoration, or maybe there's perpetual adoration in a chapel or a church. Seek that out and see if you can make that part of your weekly routine. It'll really make a big difference in your life. Let's go back to the phones, Monsignor. We have Barbara, who is listening to Relevant Radio out in Berwyn, Illinois. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to The Inner Life today.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I know time is short. I'll try to make this as quick as possible. I'd like to share my experience. They say, "Does God talk to you?" Yes. Yes, he does talk to us. In 1989, my husband was diagnosed with colon cancer. He went through the surgery. Everything looked good. And then going through many tests back and forth, he did not want to go back for any more testing. And, you know, I was at work, and I would attend Mass twice a day in the morning and then at lunchtime. And I don't know, I was at work doing a letter for my boss, and all of a sudden this thought came into my head for no reason at all. I wasn't thinking about it. "You must get your husband back to the doctor." And I'm going, "Where is this coming from?" So I dismissed it again, and it came back stronger. "You must get your husband to go see his doctor." So I wrote the doctor, and I informed him, you know, that my husband needed to be seen, and he was seen. And after they had taken a chest X-ray, it was discovered that my husband had a tumor the size of a tennis ball attached to his aorta. He had to have a half a lung removed, but today he's cancer-free. Pray. Because it does work. I took a little bit of the a little Teresa's blessed rose petal, and I put it on my husband before he went for the surgery. And I also went to Mass every day, and I pray to the miraculous metal, our mother. And I'm not saying this is magic. It's not magic. God does talk to us. I wanted to share this with you.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, Barbara, that really is. That's powerful. And, you know, the thing that I think of, Monsignor, as I listen to the different callers that are telling us of some of their answered prayers, for every one of us, when we have those prayers that are answered, it ends up solidifying. You know, I think all of us at different points, we probably struggle with doubts. You know, okay, yeah, is God really there? Is he really listening to me? But when we have those moments that it's so clear that God has spoken to us or he's answered a prayer that we've really had on our heart, it lets us know we have a Father who loves us.
Perfect.
Let's go back. We've got Michelle who's listening in Nicholas, California. Hi, Michelle. We've only got a couple minutes here, but wanted to try to get you on before the end of the hour.
Okay, thank you. Well, sometimes I've had my prayers answered, but what I wanted to say was the rosary really helps me. I've been praying the rosary for a few years now every day, and it helps me get, actually just consoles me and gets me through times of suffering. And different aspects and different characters in the rosary jump out at me for whatever I need help with. And right now, the fifth sorrowful mystery, there's a, in my little booklet, there's a picture of Mary, one of the, not Mary, mother of Jesus, but the other Mary, and I don't know which one it is. And she's at the base of the cross where Jesus is crucified, and she's holding on to that base. And that's what's jumping out at me now. But just things just jump out that seem to provide me consolation.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And Michelle, I've found in my own prayer life too, as I, especially the rosary, you know, that's one of those daily prayers for me. And going through and looking at those meditations, especially when I look at something from one of the other characters' points of view, you know, not necessarily just the point of view of Jesus, where we follow his life so often, or the life of Mary, but as a, for instance, the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, and having the angel Gabriel, what were Gabriel's thoughts as he's telling Mary? He already knows that she's going to be chosen, but, you know, she's kind of caught off guard here as she's having this news delivered to her. I think it helps us, you know, everybody has their own perspective on what happened, and it's good to just let those moments of meditation come alive in our minds and you know, what was happening in each of those. And that meditative prayer, Monsignor, that really takes us to a deeper level of understanding our Lord and his love for us, doesn't it?
That's right. And to follow up on what you just said, Josh, as we consider these mysteries, the mysteries are fixed in time, but they continue speaking to us, and we're changing. So a week from Thursday, we could have totally different needs as we consider the Annunciation or the agony in the garden. And the Lord will speak to us in a different way at that time. He's always speaking to us. And we're always touching bedrock when we're talking with him.
We're down to just a couple of minutes here. And really quick, you know, there's that part of Matthew's gospel where Jesus says, if two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if they're to pray for anything, it'll be granted to them. Help us understand, just briefly, the importance of praying as a community. We've been talking a lot about individual and private prayer, but praying together with others, what's the power there?
Well, we are social creatures. We really and truly need each other. And to the extent that we get together to pray for something or pray about something, what we're doing is we are strengthening those bonds. We're becoming more and more siblings, so to speak. You know, this beautiful document of the Pope, the Fratelli Tutti, all of us are brothers and sisters, he talks a lot about the fact that how much we need each other. Now, when the Lord sees us bonding like that and getting together and praying as a family, whether you're a natural family or just a bigger community, he loves that because we're all part of it. We're all brothers and sisters.
That also kind of goes back to Jesus' prayer there in the garden that, you know, Father, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one. And so when we're united, when we are praying together, it really fulfills that request of Jesus is there, that we become that community that is so united under him as the head of the church. Our spiritual director today has been Monsignor Fred Dolan, a priest of the Prelature of Opus Dei based in Montreal, Canada. And Monsignor, as we're down to the last few seconds, can I ask you for a blessing for our listeners?
Lord, I pray that each one of us develop a genuine thirst for you, knowing that you thirst for us. And to the extent that we can grow in this, we can be that much more ready to be attentive to the needs of all those around us. Amen.
Amen. Monsignor Dolan, thank you so much for being our guest here on The Inner Life today. Coming up, we have Mass, and Father Edward Looney is the celebrant today, and that's followed by The Faith Explained with Cale Clark. It's class right after Mass, and As I've been telling you, make sure you pray the rosary every day. If you want to change your life, if you want to change the world around you, make sure to pray the rosary.